Meanwhile, China has accused a U.S. warship of entering its territorial waters without permission, vowing to take necessary measures to ensure the protection of its sovereignty. The Chinese Foreign Ministry said the missile destroyer, the USS Hopper, came within 12 nautical miles of Wangyang Island in the South China Sea. It added that the Chinese Navy ordered the U.S. vessel to withdraw after determining its identity. The ministry called the incident a violation of China's sovereignty. It said the U.S. warship threatened the safety of the Chinese vessels and personnel in the vicinity. Washington has conducted a series of operations called Freedom of Navigation in the Sea. It criticizes Beijing for constructing artificial islands in the region, arguing they could be used to restrict free nautical movement. China, however, rejects the allegations, accusing the U.S. of escalating the situation in the South China Sea. Turning to Beijing, joined by author and columnist Inar Tanjan. Thank you so much for being with us. What is going on in your perspective? The United States, do they actually, their reason is legitimate, or do they want to increase conflict in that region?
Well, at this point, you have to put that in perspective of the new, Mattis's new strategic theory, which is that the terrorism is no longer a big threat, that the big threat is Russia and China and the dissipation of U.S. military power, which would be laughable given that the U.S. outspends the next 20 countries combined. I think you have to see this as mostly the military-industrial complex pushing something. There's not, I don't think the U.S. wants to go to war with China, but they want to do something provocative to justify this new strategy, paint Beijing as an aggressor. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly, they're really running the danger of isolating themselves. You cannot be fighting with everybody all the time. And this is something that Donald Trump will have to learn.
Well, interesting point you just made. Isn't that the reality we're seeing? Many would say, actually, the downfall of the U.S. as the facade, basically, has been lifted, whether we're talking about domestic politics or, in this case, international. Perhaps the same policy was in place before under other presidents. But again, the jargon was different. With this administration, it's a very, some would say, provocative language that is used. And of course, when you're saying that terrorism is no longer a threat, but topping that list is China and Russia. It's almost like a de facto war or a Cold War. How do you see it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It is the new beginnings of a Cold War. I don't know that necessarily you can paint Trump's administration as being representative of the entire United States. In your previous program, you were talking about Kim Jong-un does not necessarily represent all of North Korea. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true here. Let's see what the congressional elections say in the midterm. If he is resoundingly turned in and it gets more support from the Republican side, then I would say that this is. But this is something that is going to be very worrisome. But if the Democrats win and there's a return to some sort of normalcy and away from his kind of very strange Twitter diplomacy and desire to sell more missiles and arms, then I think we can return and have some hope.
But at the bottom line, I only have about 30 seconds, but really quickly, at the bottom line, what you had talked about, military-industrial complex, isn't that the bottom line? That is the problem, whether it's Democrats in office, Republicans in office. The bottom line is that it's to sell more weapons, more equipment, and it doesn't matter the price that people of the world would pay. Isn't that the bottom line and the basic problem with the American political system right now?
Right now, yes, Donald Trump has, every country he has gone to, he has sold billions, tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars worth of arms. And this seems to be his main constituency. It's very unfortunate.
Thank you so much for being with us. Out of Beijing, author and columnist, Inar Tanjan.